Small businesses are at the heart of the U.S. economy. Here at Nurture Small Business Podcast, we're dedicated to seeing our small business owners succeed. I am your host, Denise Kagan, president of DCA Virtual Business Support. If you like what you hear on today's podcast, please share it. You have my gratitude for doing so.
Today's guest has lost half of her body weight previously and helped perform open heart surgery. She desperately sought purpose in her life and in all the wrong places, leading to becoming suicidal. Today, she's here to share her journey with us through wife, mom, business owner, struggling person, and nurse, not specifically in that order. Welcome to the show, Amy Singleton.
Thank you for having me, Denise. Happy to be here.
I am so excited. We had a great conversation ahead of time, and I'm very excited to get into hearing about your story. There's a lot of things that have happened in your life that you have just overcome.
Yeah, absolutely. From the very beginning, it's been an overcoming journey for sure.
So tell me about it. Tell me about your weight loss journey to start with.
Okay. I was born in Oklahoma in the Bible Belt, where we eat a lot of Southern cooking and a lot of fried food and not a lot of really fitness minded people around in the late 70s, early 80s when I came around. In 1981. So, you know, I was born into a family of people who were not necessarily health conscious. We were more like health concerned. When problems happened, that's when we would deal with health. And so I really, you know, it was just ignorance in our area, ignorance in our family. But I really never had like fitness or diet or health really as a part of my life. So I grew up really overweight. I grew up getting made fun of a lot. And I found myself in my early 20s as an operating room nurse performing open heart surgeries on people who had high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, all of these terrible health problems that led them to getting split down the chest and having bypasses done on their heart for circulation. And I was on my way to being the patient on that table. In fact, I applied way back in the day to be on The Biggest Loser twice, and I made it to their final round of cuts. I think it was season 4 or something like that. And I didn't make it. So I had finally come to the conclusion that my life, my weight was just unmanageable. I was on the verge of diabetes. I'd had problems getting pregnant with my 2 sons that I had. And so I made a decision, a really scary one. As an operating room nurse, I decided to have an operation. I had gastric bypass back in 2010. It was the same year that I went through a divorce from my husband. So that was a really tough year. But, you know, it was not an easy way out. Many, many people who have had that surgery have gained it all back. And so I had a lot of buyer's remorse at first. Man, it was hard. It's really hard learning to live a new way. But now it's been well over 10, it's been 12 years now. And I've gone up and down a little bit. Whenever I got sober about 6 years ago, I got back up to about 202 pounds was my next highest, but I started off at 284 pounds was my highest weight. And I was really heading down a miserable road, and I didn't want to die early like my grandmother did. She weighed probably upwards of 600 pounds when we buried her.
Oh my goodness.
She's very, very overweight and very depressed, a lot of mental health problems that came with that. So I knew that I had to do something drastic. And I tried all the other ways that I knew. Looking back, could I have done it on my own? Probably, with the right education and the right leadership. But it's what worked for me, and I've been able to keep it off and maintain it and have a much healthier life because of it.
So I have so many questions for you right now. My first that popped out is when you had that realization that the people you were splitting down the chest, that the person on the table, you were headed in that direction.
Yeah.
I mean, how did that make you feel? What did it make you think?
Like, well, you know, first of all, it made me feel like a poser. I mean, because here I am, like, I know that's probably wasn't the answer that you're thinking, but like when I would go to pick up a patient, you know, me as a consumer, I want my healthcare provider to look healthy. I want them to, you know, you don't hire a skinny cook. You don't hire a fat trainer. You don't, you know, like you want them to look the part and look the health. And I didn't look that. I was so unhealthy. Mm-hmm. I was huffing and puffing, pushing those heavy beds with heavy patients and heavy equipment. And at the time, I was also running after two little boys that were exhausting me. So, you know, I hated the light that it painted me in front of my patients. And I hated how much just the physical activity of my day-to-day, not only is that a really emotional and, mentally challenging job, because you're with people on the worst day of their lives and you're like ministering to these families while their loved one is under anesthesia and you're supposed to be there for them. And I couldn't handle the mental, the emotional, and the physical aspects of that. And so it was taking me down a hill, in my personal life as well. You know, things can always be better when you're healthier. And so I just wanted to, it made me feel embarrassed. It made me feel like a responsibility. It made me feel like I don't want to be that person laying on this table. So I knew it was up to me to make a change.
You know, you said a couple of things that really resonated in that often when I speak to other business owners or leaders, they a lot of times feel like they're posers. You know, the fake it till you make it conversation comes up quite frequently. And I think as women, we put a ton of pressure on us ourselves to look the part, you know, play the part rather than being our authentic selves. And I'm sorry that you went through that. That is terrible. I mean, I've got family members who are overweight, and it's harder for me to relate because my weight is gained as I've aged. When I was younger, I wasn't overweight. Mm-hmm. So it's harder for me to kind of relate to that challenge, but I do know it's a challenge. It creates esteem issues. It creates all sorts of issues. Mm-hmm. Oh my goodness. You just shared a whole bunch of stuff. And you work with people finding purpose now. Is that not correct?
I do some public speaking and motivational speaking on that part. The vast majority of what I do is in the business and like marketing and education space. But a lot of times I'm asked to come and speak to women's groups. I spoke to the Better Business Bureau's Women in Business Conference, as a panelist to talk about overcoming in life. And it's so many people in business, so many, I don't know, women or men, everyone, they want to separate themselves from their business and their personal life from their business life. And to me, that's just not a thing. I feel like our lives are fully integrated, at least mine is. And so, our personal development cannot exist our business can't exist outside of our personal development and vice versa. To me, so it goes so much hand in hand. I love working with my clients to literally find out like what their dream is, what is your purpose in life so that you can get to those goals. And some of that really does have to start with like their mindset. It has nothing to do with their marketing. It's their mindset that comes first.
Well, you sound like a coach, but you are actually a marketer.
I'm not a coach. I am asked so often, would you coach us? Would you come talk to my team? Will you be my coach? No, I think I'm just a product of having been coached a lot, having hired a lot of therapists, having hired a lot of coaches for myself in the personal development, mindset, business space. Maybe it's just a language thing, but the more you do, the more you want to do, and the more you want to help and share that the impact it's made in your life with others as you can when they're ready to receive that, which not all people are. I'm really more bossy. I don't want to be a coach because, man, I just want to boss you around and tell you what to do. I don't want to like help you determine. I'm like, I've already been there. I know what to do. Let me just tell you. And that's not good for anybody. So let's just let me stay in my lane.
Understood. So, oh my gosh. So tell me a little bit more about some of the other things that you've had to overcome.
One of the biggest things was probably the divorce from my husband. My first husband, I met him when I was 12 years old, at seventh grade, junior high school, best friends, hip to hip, right from the very beginning, and was best friends all through high school, got married the year after we graduated. We were married for 9 years. We had two little boys who are now 20 and 15. And I found out in 2010, when my boys were, they would have been 4 and 6, I guess, at that time. No, oh my gosh, 2 and 6, that he was gay.
Oh.
And so, yeah, that was really tough. really tough. And so, you know, much like my identity was wrapped up in my nursing career, my identity, my very first identity was really wrapped up in my husband and my spouse. It was me and him together. Like we had grown up together, you know, and then we just did the next thing, which was get married. And so I always had this coexisting identity with him. And so losing that identity when our marriage ended was really, really hard. And then the next identity I lost was my nursing career when my health failed me and I had to leave that career in 2012. So, you know, looking back, the really hardest part of all of that was not knowing who I was before I started my life with someone else, not knowing who I was before I started a career in something. And I think that's obviously not, most people don't get that worked out ahead of time, but it really damaged my, it damaged my life in so many ways, tying my identity to all these other people and places and things other than what my purpose was, in life. So, whenever he came out as gay, I asked him, I had to draw it out of him because I had some suspicions. And then I wasn't able to tell anybody that that had happened because that was his information to share and he wasn't ready to share that. And so I got things like, and I don't hold her responsible for this, so don't think it sounds too bad, but my mother was like, "Did you cheat on him?" Like she, because oh we were gosh. So close, like he was the son my family never had, like nobody knew the reason.
Happened. Yes.
Right. It seemed so perfect. And I had just started my weight loss journey where you have to lose a little bit of weight before you have that surgery. That was like on the book. So everybody's like, "Oh, she's losing some weight. She's feeling herself. Maybe she's stepping out." And it was nothing like that. But here I had this horrible secret where I felt like I'd been lied to, cheated on. I mean, I even used the words you raped me out of children. Like I was angry, so mad. And I felt like I was the only person that that had ever happened to. Like I was all alone. And that's not the truth. I found out later. I mean, there have been dozens of books written on this by men and women. And I found even people in my community that have been through it. But man, I felt so alone. And overcoming that and clawing my way back was a real, real challenge.
And you said you grew up in Oklahoma. Did you not use the words Bible Belt?
Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yes.
Well, that kind of explains why he didn't. Me, that explains why he didn't share his identity.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
Not making excuses, but.
No. And, you know, that's part of what hurt me so bad, too, is like whenever people finally found out, a lot of people's initial reaction was like, "Oh, my gosh, how horrible for him. How hard that must have been to live with you for so long." And I'm like, "Yeah, it must have been real tough for him. Like, I was mad at that."
Oh, no, that's not where I'm going.
I understand what you're saying. And you're absolutely right. You know, he felt morally conflicted, religiously conflicted. I mean, he is a Christian. He believes in God, you know, or did at least at that time. And it was really hard for him in the night. I mean, this was the 90s. I mean, come on. We graduated high school in 1999. It was not something
as inclusive. Yes.
Yeah, definitely not as inclusive here, especially now. I'm very grateful to say that my son that goes to the high school here, he's in the 10th grade. And my other son graduated 2 years ago. Both of them would tell you, somebody starts giving anybody crap at school for almost any reason anymore, there is a tribe of people that just rush and surround those kids to encourage and uplift them, which makes me so happy. But I know that's not the experience that my ex-husband would have had he came out, because he definitely started feeling it in his teen years and, you know, waited until we were both well into our 20s before he was able to really break free. And both of us were able to live our lives. And that's really the most beautiful thing that's come from all of that. Is my 20-year-old son said to me just a few weeks ago after he broke up with his girlfriend of 2 years, you know, "It really hurt me that I had to break up with her. But I know that I watched you and Dad not be your own people. And you've finally figured that out. And I feel like Dad is still figuring that out. And I need to know who Brady is before I attach to somebody like you did." And I'm like, "Let my life be a lesson and example. I'll take credit for that all day long, because it was hell not knowing who we were and really wanting to live our best life, but not really knowing how."
Yeah, that was a lot of pain for both of you. I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see
so
that.
So much.
And huge lessons, and kudos for that lesson being moved forward to the next generation. That's
yeah.
That is valuable. That is gold right there. Absolutely.
We're breaking generational curses up in here, girl. We're sober. we're like living our lives. We're living with purpose. It's what it's all about, man. We got to change. If we want change, it has to start in the home with the individual. And that's how we impact a city, a community, a nation, a world.
And even your business.
And your business. That's right.
Because as you said, they all intertwine together.
Oh, they so do. They so do. I get so upset when I hear these women and men say, God, I got this hat and 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 I got this hat. No, you don't. Pick up your crown and put it on, because every one of those jewels is just a different facet of your life. And it all has to integrate and be you together. And it doesn't work any way else. It just doesn't. You can't have, I don't know. I haven't found another way that it works to have a full life with everything I want to incorporate in it and have to switch off a hat. It's just that one piece.
That is a great concept. That is a great concept. So we've talked a lot about the personal. Tell me a little bit about your career. You went out of nursing for health reasons. What happened next?
What happened next is I didn't work for about the next decade, almost 10 years. And then I went through all of those problems. I actually became an alcoholic and clawed my way back from that. Lots of other health issues and things happened. But after I started feeling better, I met my husband. I've now been with for 7 years, married six, together seven. And he was a serial entrepreneur. He had owned several businesses in the consulting and in the home services space, for specifically painting companies. At one time, he owned the largest painting company in Oklahoma City with about 125 employees. They had about 10% of the new housing market. And then in 2008, the new housing market literally was obliterated. And so that business, he sold his shares and went into a different business. But we were sitting thinking, how can we bring him home? At the time when I met him, he was working 8 hours away in another business, his business, but it was far away. It took him far away to Texas. And we were trying to figure out, how can I go back to work and incorporate both of our time, talent, and everything together and serve our community? And what that looked like, he said, you know who I paid a lot of money to? Marketing companies, lead generation services that promise you the world and under deliver or deliver nothing, over promise. We never knew what we were paying for with our marketing or our websites. We can do better. And so we did. We started hiring coaches. We took some classes. We dug in deep. We proved the concept. We started building websites and learning. And that was in 2019. And so now we now own, our agency is called Height Digital. We have made the Inc. 5000 list the last 2 years in a row. We will apply again this year for one of the fastest growing companies in the United States. We serve small businesses to help turn their websites into lead generating machines. And we do that by clarifying and magnifying their message across the internet to bring them leads, because the lead flow is the lifeblood of any business. And that's a really hard part for most business owners, because they are really good at what they do, like plumbing, HVAC, electric, at being an attorney, running a medical clinic. These are the types of businesses we serve. They're so good at doing that, but they have no idea how to check their email or to, you know, they can barely get into their email, much less run a website or generate leads through that website in the complicated process of search engine optimization. So that's what we do. We serve home service businesses, businesses like attorneys, soft services like that, and a lot of medical clinics. Because of my background in medicine, physicians and doctors are kind of weird about, you know, and nurses especially are weird about who we work with in other areas of our lives, like financial advice and other things. So we want someone that speaks our language. So our unique benefit is that Joseph has been in the business with home services. In fact, we just sold our second painting company earlier last year that we had accidentally by ranking a website that started bringing in leads to a website. And the next thing you knew, we had a 3-crew painting company again, which we did not want. So we sold to someone and now they have a lovely website that's generating them leads for their business. But that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to bring him home. We wanted to put me back in some capacity where I could serve and connect with my community, with my talents, without killing my body physically. And that's what we came up with. It's been a joy to watch people's dreams really grow like when they start off wanting to do a business and then they're literally there 90 hours a week and never get any time off and can't take a vacation and can't grow and scale because it's always them. It's nice to help take that load off and watch them be able to go to the lake and some baseball games and whatever it is that lights their fire.
So you named a lot of the types of services that you work with, businesses that you work with. Are there any unique ones that kind of come to mind, like, you know, an undertaker, maybe? I don't know.
You know, we don't have an undertaker, but we do have, we've got a couple of unique clients. One of our longest term clients was actually a nurse I worked with way back when we were nursing together. He has a dog poop scooping business. He's one of my favorite clients because he's actually been able to leave his full-time job in nursing and is
tell
now
me the
running
name
like,
of the can you tell me the name of the company? Cause sometimes
yeah, sure.
They have funny names.
Yes. He's a veteran. So his is Private Piles Pet Waste Management. So it's like a double entendre, the pile and private pile, like Gomer pile or any of the other piles you've read. It's the greatest. And he has scaled that thing to, I can't remember. He's got 15 or 20 employees. He's not working anymore. He's home with his young children. It's fabulous. We have an aquaponics client that grows herbs and fresh vegetables. We have a client that has a theta chamber, which is very unique technology that puts people in this machine and it spins them around. And I watched a little boy do a 28-day challenge that has cerebral palsy and his walking, like his physical therapist couldn't believe the improvement in his walking and physical motion. It's not FDA approved or anything. So it's brand new technology. So we've got a dinner theater. We've got our attorneys and plumbers and HVAC clients and all those sort of people too, junk removal and you name it. If it happens at someone's home or in an office somewhere, we can serve them. But we have 600 clients nationwide. So it's really great that we're able to aggregate data from so many different kinds of clients. We have lots of escape room mm-hmm. clients, stuff like that, you know, just a wide variety of people that want to show up on the internet, you know, people that want beautiful branding and websites and logos and, ads and messaging, marketing. They want to get more.
So you work with the copy and the optimization, but also with ads, PPC, pay per click.
Yes.
Okay. Is it HubSpot by any chance? Not HubSpot.
HubSpot what?
Okay. It's not HubSpot.
We don't use HubSpot. No. Pay per click is Google Ads. We use Google.
Right. But the HubSpot platform is also kind of set up for some of that lead generation. So I was just wondering.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah, we do not use HubSpot. We do have a CRM that we use called High Level. And that's the CRM platform that we use that connects kind of all of our things together in our business.
Okay, very cool. So you've got a lot of like an interesting backstory, first of all, and a lot of experience and some very cool businesses that you work with. Have you ever written a book?
You know what? It's really funny. I have not personally, but I had a meeting this morning with an interview. A woman was interviewing me to write a chapter about me in her book about women who have overcome big things. And so I'm not sure when that's coming out, but she's taken the initial story from me. So I have a chapter coming out in a book that is yet to be titled. So that will be coming out. And I have not written a book yet. I am asked all the time and approached by publishers all the time to do that. But I don't know if it would be on marketing or if it would be on personal. You know, I'm not sure what that looks like yet, but it will be in the future at some point.
Awesome. Sure. I'd be excited to hear that. So what should I have asked you that I haven't asked you today?
Ooh, what's the biggest mistake that people make in their marketing?
What is it?
Not saying the right thing.
Explain that a little bit further.
People want to tell their story. Our businesses are our babies, right? Like we want people to know like that our grandfather and our uncle started this back in 1912 with two pieces of bubble gum and a rubber band and nobody cares. They've already lost interest. There's a place for that information, but on our homepages, in our front-facing language, the client needs to be hearing their story and how they fit into that story. And so just the language that they're using, no matter the amount of push you do for ads or the budget you put behind it, if you're not speaking the language that a client needs to hear in order to engage your services or product, it's just going to be noise because we are in the information age. Our attention spans are like less than a second at this point. And so if it's not, our brains are wired to survive and thrive only. So unless something we see is going to solve a problem in our lives, we don't hear it.
Pain points. Yep. Yeah. Pain points. What is the problem that we're solving? Does it apply to me?
That's it.
Absolutely. That's it. Perfect. So how can our listeners find you after the show?
AmySingleton.net. All of my links are there to the podcast, the business, and everything else I'm doing. Just follow me at Amy Singleton.
Tell me about the podcast. Sorry, I missed that.
Oh, no worries. My podcast is called Queens Lead. So it is a podcast for female entrepreneurs, and we tell stories of women. That's it.
Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah. So anybody that is wondering about their website, how it's doing online, if you have questions about how it's set up, if you could be doing better, at amysingleton.net, there's a form at the bottom. If you'll fill out your information and just give me your website URL, I'll have my team go over and do a completely free video. It's about a 3-minute video just showing you areas of opportunity on your website that you can make changes on your very own to start making a better impact today.
Perfect. All right. Well, Amy, you have been a great guest, a fascinating story. I thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you for joining me for today's Nurture Small Business podcast, where the focus is on business growth through technology, leadership, and people strategies. Do you have an idea for a podcast or feedback you'd like to share with me? Send me a note through my website at dcavirtual.com/contact.